What's up, guys? Good afternoon and welcome to a very special edition of the 330 Sports Show. Today is Thursday, September 1st, 2022. With me is Joe Danier. I am Justin Coffin, and we are live from the Canfield Fair. So, Joe, I guess if you're explaining to people where we're at, what's the easiest way to explain it?
So we are right behind the grandstand. So if you find where the media is usually set up in the main concourse, you will find our tent right along that deal, right between the stage and the grandstand. So if you're out at the fair, come out and say hi after the show, and I'd love to say hi to you.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say, meet you at the Rock. I saw a couple even shirts of people, when I was walking in, and that's a great place. If you're right by the Rock, you'll see kind of a light tower with a bunch of flags around it, too. So you'll find us. WFMJ's right down the way. So like
they have
Joe
shade
said,
over there, by the way.
Yeah,
this is Hades over here. That's shade.
Joe's got a great setup here. We got the full Encompass tent. You got the lights. We got the fan going behind us. We got Ryan doing backstage stuff for us. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So tell us about this morning. So you had 570 out here doing their radio show. I know Sheriff Green was on. Who else did you get out here?
Oh, man, we had a bunch of politicians show up this morning to talk to Dan. We had the director of the Canfield Fair showed up.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
He's a sharp dressed dude.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, though, wearing a three-piece in this weather?
Well, I just saw it says 90 degrees on the thermometer.
Yep.
Not ideal suit wearing weather. But,
yeah. Usually when I'm on your show, you don't ever see me. I'm the disembodied voice. You actually get to see me on your show.
Yeah, this is nice. It's nice doing the, next to each other too, instead of the crosstalk
So,
but it's fun. We get to do some people watching out here. You guys can come heckle us if you want, if you're out and around the fair, or going to be here in the next hour or so. We will hopefully have a guest or two swinging by. We'll see based on their schedules and what's going on. It's a busy time up here, but beautiful day. I had to partake in some fair festivities, so I'm drinking a lemon shake right now, and just gonna enjoy it. So I will say, though, I think I told you guys off air, it is really intimidating over by that lemon shake stand with the bees. I mean, I feel like they need a beekeeper, and they could
Heck yeah.
You could definitely formulate some honey or cultivate, whatever they do over there. So Joe, let me ask you this: you're a fairly, I would say, above average healthy person, right? I like to consider myself a fairly healthy eater, but we're at the Canfield Fair. Your normal allotment for, a normal adult male or female is roughly 2,000 calories. Here, I think you throw all that out the window. So what are you eating here at the fair? Like, if you could, let me say I give you $50. That's a lot of money. That's a lot. Let's say $20. So you're going out there with $20. What are you buying fair food wise?
So this is a terrible question to ask me today, because I ate a meal out here, which I went from eating healthy to not eating healthy. Mm-hmm. Like that's snapback, right?
Right, right.
I had the biggest hangover this morning from eating that food. And all I did was a slice of pizza.
Okay.
I had a funnel cake and I had a lemon shake, and I probably consumed as much sugar in one
that's
sitting.
That's a lot of sugar.
And then I did the entire rest of the
month.
Yeah,
that's a lot of sugar. But this is the day or week or whatever. Get it out, and then you treat the rest of September as a fast, a healthy.
Right. So
stay.
To answer your question, I'm going with the cavatellis.
Okay.
With a bunch of cheese and a bunch of sauce and whatever. And then I'm going to go down to Molnar's and get a cinnamon roll.
Okay. Yeah, I would say Molnar's is definitely at the top of my list. Generally when I'm out here, I get, maybe like a DeRusso sausage sandwich, but I think I'm going to mix it up this year. I was actually out here yesterday morning and got an iced coffee. I didn't know there's a couple like random coffee booths around, that are, it's nice. It's a nice option, especially on a really hot day like this. But food wise, sausage sandwich is definitely good. I even made a list of things I was like, you know, having to get. So I'm going to go down my list real quick. Definitely elephant ears as a snack or whatever, a treat. But I'm thinking like a fried cheese or something like that. You know, if you're going to go unhealthy, you might as well go all
the way,
you
know,
and go all in. And if there's one thing, by the way, that the city of Youngstown, Mahoning County, Northeast Ohio in general is known for, it's its food. I mean, my God, you can't get much better food than right here in at the Canfield Fair. You get kind of a little bit of everything. There's pizza. Like I said, lemon shakes. There's milkshakes. There's ice cream, French fries, all that stuff down on the list. So if I know the MLO bros are going to be on and they're going to be doing some taste testing later. So we'll let them kind of go through the gauntlet of foods. But, you know, definitely treat yourself while you're out here and enjoy it. And you're also supporting many local businesses that are out here, which is another great thing to do here at the fair.
Now,
so,
I see fried veggies. Like, is that a neutral if you do that one?
Yeah. I will say the thing with fried veggies is, somebody once told me, like, that didn't eat seafood and stuff very often. They're like, I'm afraid I'm going to get sick. I'm like, well, if you get fried anything, fried fish, fried whatever, it's going to be fine because it's fried. It's cooked all the way through. You'll be fine. With veggies, it's kind of an oxymoron a little bit.
Yeah,
a fried veggie, you know, you're kind of on both ends of the stick.
Well, people aren't dying from dysentery. That's not our
biggest problem,
right?
The Oregon Trail. This is the Canfield Fair. For a little 80s, 90s reference for anyone out there that played that game in computer lab when they were a kid. So I noticed it was the 176th edition of the Canfield Fair. I believe, was it canceled in 2020 because of COVID?
They had a weird one where it was a drive-through version,
I think. Okay. So, you know, I mean, we're still talking 176 years.
Just not consecutive, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Of tradition or whatever. And I don't know if they took a break for World War II or any of that stuff. Maybe we'll have a Canfield Fair historian.
I want to meet the person who's been to all of them.
I would love to meet
you
that person. I did. I thought about that. I thought about that for a second. I bet you can find at least maybe three generations of people going backwards that have probably done that or resided in the Youngstown area their whole life. But yeah, sorry. You caught me off guard. It's been a long day already.
Like, Ryan's groaning over there because I've been telling dad jokes all day. When I'm around him, it gives me license to do
that. You got any good ones?
Oh, well, we're coming over here, we were carrying these two fans, and I was like, I'm not a fan of this. And those are the kind of...
Yeah. Or you could just say, hey, Ryan, leave. And, you know, make like an animal, bison. So,
yes.
You know, sorry. We are lame territory right now. But, again, if you're just tuning in, if you're watching this later on, this, you're going to be here all week, correct?
I am.
Okay, so Joe will be here with the Youngstown tent all week. You know, we're going to have, tell them who's coming on later tonight or what a little bit of what's going on this week.
So Fast Freddy's going to make a couple appearances. He's going to try to make it out here after he gets off of his main gig. And then we're going to do man talk to people, ask them silly questions, and then document the craziness. Following that is going to be the MLO bros. They're going to go from 8 o'clock all the way to, or 8:30 all the way to probably 10 o'clock. I think one of them might die. Like, they're going to eat they're going to eat so much food that I think they're going to push the envelope on this one. We might be missing. It might be the MLO bro after this.
It's got to. Well, I mean, if we said who's going to be standing, Isaac's going to be standing. Luke is going down.
He's going down.
And I think Luke's on a bit of a health kick, isn't he?
So his body can't take the shock. But he said he was going to, I think he said he's going to walk 35 miles out.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Consecutive?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Okay.
And then we have Kelly Pavlik coming out on Friday, signing some autographs.
Nice.
And then I think a couple of the days we're going to have Joe Midlick coming out talking about Youngstown Marathon also on Friday. So yeah, weekend packed.
Awesome. I myself will be in Columbus tomorrow and Saturday for Ohio State Notre Dame festivities. We're going to talk a little bit about that game coming up, but you know, a lot planned this weekend. Hopefully I'll get back here on Monday, do another show, maybe in lieu of our normal Tuesday show. Cause I'm guessing on Tuesday, you're going to need a long extended
break.
Yeah, well, staycation.
Someone's down the studio renting the studio. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, like half my studio is missing.
Yeah.
I get back, I have to set everything back up.
I mean, and you guys can see, you know, the drop screen behind us, which is great, but you know, just looking around here, you're going to see some great technology that's going on. And Joe has put together a phenomenal, like, explain even how we're even broadcasting right now.
So we've done these in the past, and we've done like cellular hotspots, right?
Yeah.
And that works usually pretty well because the cellular technology is okay. But when you get 100,000 people all in one spot, like they just swamp the cellular. So we've not been able to do this. So I got Starlink, which is a satellite version of that. And I've got it lined up behind the tent here in the closest window you could totally imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been amazing. So
that's great. It's so cool how this all comes together. And, you know, we get to do some fun stuff behind, you know, in front of the camera, but also kind of just see what's going on at the fair. It's a really cool setup. I'm a people watcher. I love it. I enjoy it, especially at the fair, you know, all in good fun, but we'll definitely have some fun today.
Absolutely.
I just looked at my phone and it said ESPN breaking news. Cleveland Cavaliers have acquired all-star guard Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz. I don't know anything else, but Donovan Mitchell is a top 15 player in the NBA. So that is an amazing trade for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about that when I know more details later. But anyway, let's get back a little bit. 176th edition of the Canfield Fair,
right,
which means it started in 1846.
Nice.
Let me ask you this, a little trivia question. Don't look at my cheat sheet here. Do you know who the president of the United States was in 1846?
I don't know, Ronald Reagan? Just kidding. No, I don't know.
He might have been in the same party. I don't know. I will say Al Bundy, who is a Youngstown native, played at this high school
Polk.
In his fiction. James K. Polk.
No way.
Yeah. James K. Polk was the president of the United States in 1846. So there's a little Canfield Fair, Al Bundy, Youngstown reference in there for you.
Very cool.
Also, a couple other, like, I just was Wikipedia-ing it today because I was kind of curious what was going on in the world in 1846. So the Liberty Bell, we're all, you know, all familiar with, actually cracked in 1846. Celebrating George Washington doing something. I don't know. Chopping down a cherry tree.
All right.
Something like that.
How did it break? Do you know?
I don't. I think they just rang it. I don't know if they hit it or rang it or what. So
I don't know. That seems like that's incompetence. If you celebrate the incompetence of a bell maker, then I'd expect it to ring. It is a bell, right? It wasn't like it was used in an instructed way.
That's very, very true. Very true. I'm sure it was rung before. So somebody rang their bell a little too hard, right, which has been known to happen.
You didn't groan at that one, though. So thank you, Ryan.
Another thing. This is a little sports nod. In 1846, the first official recorded baseball game took place in 1846 in Hoboken, New Jersey, right across the river from New York City. This is another one. I'm not familiar extremely with this story, but the Donner Party, have you heard of them?
Never.
The Donner Party crossing, didn't they like eat each other or something? That happened in 1846. Iowa becomes the 29th state the Union. Mexican-American War started. It was a three-year war. And then George Westinghouse, an inventor and entrepreneur, you'll see a lot of Westinghouse technology out there. He was actually born in 1846, which puts into perspective, like, somebody with that entrepreneurial, you know, design and all that stuff was born the same year the Canfield Fair started. So that shows you hit the rewind button. You go Marty McFly back in time and all that stuff happens.
I wonder what this
happens,
area looked like when the fair was going on. It had to have been in the middle of nowhere.
It's incredible to think, like, maybe what was here, what wasn't here. Like, are there any initial buildings. You know, I'm sure there are. I know in the, let's see, what would that be? The southwest corner. There's that like old schoolhouse and there's the old church.
Is there like a cabin down there too? Like,
yeah, yeah. Okay. And I think people can get married and stuff in there. Wow. There's the old train down there. So that might give you a little bit of indication maybe of what was around or not around in 1846. So just some interesting little trivia nuggets I found out there. So favorite things about the fair. There's so much to do here. What are some of your favorite, like, I guess let me ask it this way. First of all, are you a regular fair goer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like every day?
Honestly, well, when I was younger, I would come all the time. And then when I started like losing my interest in people, like I stopped coming because there are really a lot of them here.
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot.
And so like, I'll come on a day, like if it rains, I go to the fair because I know everybody's not going to go. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I have kind of like a mixed relationship with the fair, I guess you could say. I have, you know, I used to love it as a kid. Then I kind of got away from it. And then I wasn't a huge fan. And then all of a sudden, like now it's like, it's cool. There's new traditions you can do. Yesterday I brought my 3-year-old. So that's like more fun to kind of see it through her eyes. So I guess what's some of your favorite stuff to do here? Because there's literally unending things to do.
So I guess it would still be my favorite now is that they have a lot of the 4-H programs. Mm-hmm. The kids really put a ton of effort in that. So they have those barns where they did like the reptiles and the, you know, the chickens and all that kind of stuff. It's cool to go through there and see what projects these kids have put together over the, you know, last year.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, yesterday I got sucked into doing some rides and stuff. I'm not a huge ride guy at the fair. I love it at like Cedar Point and stuff. You know, but these are more like younger kids type rides, which is totally fine. But that Ferris wheel looks pretty sweet. Yeah, I would try that out. Yesterday, though, I went down that slide a couple times. So that was pretty fun. Definitely a lot to do here.
And on these ones, they actually have a top to it. So if you're fornicating on a Ferris wheel, you've got some visual protection off the top.
Okay. Okay.
You see that story?
That was recent in the news. Where did that happen at?
I'm going to say Cedar Point, but I don't know. But
okay.
Somebody was caught and arrested for having, you know, relations on a Ferris
wheel. Officer, no one saw us.
I know, but you don't realize, you think if you're on a wheel that you're never going to make eye contact with somebody else, but you slide in and out of the view.
What's it called when you're in one of those? What are those things called?
Baskets?
Okay, basket. If that basket's a rockin', don't come a knockin'. Let it go. So, okay. So Joe likes the 4-H stuff. I kind of am along the same lines as that too. I love animals just in general. So I know if you're talking regular, like domestic type animals, they do have one of the animal shelters that are out here. Angels for Animals, I think, is out here. And they have a couple dogs walking around, which is great. But obviously the horses, the cows, the chickens, the rabbits, you know, the goats and stuff like that, all really cool because, you know, how often do you just go up and see a cow? Unless you're living on a freaking farm, you're not really interacting too much with these type of animals. And it's really cool, especially if you got little ones or just maybe have, you know, living in a city or a you know, populated suburb. It's just stuff you don't see every day.
How are you with the animal piles and walking around here?
Sometimes you got to watch the landmines out there. And,
you're okay with that? I mean, I feel like you might have some sensitivities.
What's that mean?
I don't know. I'm just asking. It's just a question.
I got a little defensive on that. but no, it's totally fine. I am wearing very white shoes. So, that would definitely not hold
up. If you can't see off camera, he has a belt with hand sanitizer on the hip. So just so you know.
I do not, but that's not a terrible idea. But I do make sure to properly sanitize my hands before I eat or go on to the next activity. You know, try to keep people safe. You know, you do what you can. So, but it is very hot out here. So if you're coming out tonight, you know, dress properly. Make sure you hydrate, but, you know, again, there's plenty to eat, plenty to drink, plenty to do down here at the Canfield Fair.
And Dave Price says, hey, and that it was at Cedar Point where they were arrested.
Okay. So thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave.
For researching us.
Yeah. I love Cedar Point. I can say I've never seen any of that happen before. Mm. So, but you know, there's a first time for everything. Yeah. Maybe, I know Sheriff Green was on the show earlier, so if, you know, be careful out there if you're messing around on the Ferris wheel. So yep. keep your hands mostly to yourself right. on that. I'm not saying cut it all off, but just, you know, yeah, within reason, you know. Okay, so let's talk.
What a derail I hit your show with. I'm sorry. Show.
No, well, it is a sports show, and I think anybody that knows, this is a sports show. But we BS about a lot of non-sports stuff, especially when it deals with Northeast Ohio, when it deals with Youngstown, Canfield, whatever it might be. But yeah, I love that stuff. So if you or anybody out there has any good talking points, bring them on. I have my notes and I've got my sports stuff and other stuff I want to talk about. But definitely share any talking points you might have with us. So let's get into a little bit of sports. And this day in history, September 1st, I believe it was 2007. So we're talking what, 15 years ago? Appalachian State goes into the Big House and beats Michigan 34-32. I will never forget this because I was down in Columbus, and ironically, Ohio State was playing Youngstown State because it was like week one of the college football season. Ohio State, you know, handily beats YSU. And after the game, no one leaves because they're showing it on the big board the end of the game. And everyone was more into what was happening in that game than the final outcome of the YSU Ohio State game, because that game was sort of well in hand.
Right.
So awesome experience. One of the coolest stories I will never forget.
Well,
so.
As a fan, like, that's the fear of putting those money games in front, that, you know, one team has nothing to lose and yeah. one has everything to lose.
Yeah.
As a fan, you're hoping that those upsets happen because mm-hmm. it's just such a lopsided game to begin with.
Oh, especially when it's the team up north, right, too. Right, you know, especially when it's Michigan. You know, right. you cannot go wrong there. I'm going to get into some college football stuff here in a little bit, but I do want to remind you guys, if you didn't see, we had two amazing guests and two amazing shows last week. Last Tuesday, we had Steve Hellwagon, who is an inside reporter for Ohio State. He's at all the practices, all the, you know, coaches meetings, interviewing players. He gave us some great insight on Ohio State as they prepare to take on Notre Dame. And we talked a lot about the 2022 season. So I definitely highly recommend that. And then our next show last Thursday, I interviewed a Notre Dame student, but he actually works for ESPN Plus. His name is JJ Post. I actually saw him doing a Notre Dame, I can't remember who they were playing, but a Notre Dame volleyball game. And I thought that was really, really cool. It was the day after us. So I thought that was pretty neat. And he gave a lot of great insight on the Fighting Irish perspective. So I wanted to kind of keep it balanced a little bit. Obviously knows, everybody obviously knows I am an Ohio State grad and, you know, lean a little biased, but I'd like to bring both sides of the story, both perspectives into things, fair and balanced, as other networks may say. So that's what we did here. So tonight we do have some college games kicking off. A local game, we have St. Francis out of the Pittsburgh area is going to Akron to play the Zips. We have Central Michigan traveling to Oklahoma State, who is the number 12 team in the country. A huge game just about an hour down the road in Pittsburgh. West Virginia at Pitt, the backyard brawl, should be a fantastic game. You know, two former Big East teams, ACC teams, that, you know, I've obviously split and divided conferences now. So they're not matching up every year, but should be an awesome, awesome game. tonight with that. You also have VMI, Virginia Military Institute, taking on number 22, West Virginia. And then you got one Big Ten game tonight. Looks like James Franklin walking over there, by the way. I guess he's not happy with his 11-11 last 22 games. But Penn State is traveling to West Lafayette to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. That is most of the slate for tonight, at least most of the important games. Friday, you'll have Western Michigan traveling to Michigan State. Michigan State comes in as the number 15th ranked team in the country. Then Saturday, I'm not going to go over all the games, but I'm going to go over some games that are important on the national landscape and local landscape. So Duquesne, who is once again out of Pittsburgh, they actually played Florida State last weekend in week zero. They actually come to Youngstown this week. And so they go from playing Florida State to Youngstown State this weekend. So that will be YSU's opener in the Ice Castle. Obviously, the game I'm going to spend most of the time talking about today will be the number 5 Notre Dame Fighting Irish coming to Columbus to take on the number 2 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. So we'll get into that game in a little bit. Some other games of note: Oregon, number 11, travels to number 3 and former or in current national champion, the Georgia Bulldogs. You have Cincinnati, Luke Fickell's squad, traveling to number 19 Arkansas. So 23 versus 19 there. We have our Kent State Golden Flashes, another 3-3-0 team, traveling out west to Washington. And then you got another big matchup early on. A lot of people like the Utah Utes, who, if you remember, gave Ohio State an amazing game in the Rose Bowl, will travel to the Swamp and take on the Florida Gators. Sunday, you'll have Florida State at LSU, and Monday, you'll have Clemson, who is the number 4 team, taking on Georgia Tech. So, Joe, let me ask you this. Like, sure. Are you, if you had to pick one or the other, I think I know what the answer is, but maybe you can explain your reasoning. College or NFL, if you had to choose one?
Have to, it's probably NFL. I love watching college, though.
Yeah.
But I think that the team dynamics and the rivalries are more interesting on the NFL side.
Okay. Very good. I am, if I had to pick one, I'm going college all day. And that might be because I'm an Ohio State fan and a Cleveland Browns fan. So I've had amazing Saturdays and amazing time and tradition with the Buckeyes, but also a long suffering Cleveland Browns fan, as you well know.
Yeah.
But there's just something special to me about going back to Columbus for a game, really, whether it's you know, a game like opening weekend Notre Dame, or if they're playing Arkansas State. You know, to me, the Shoe is a special place to be, and they're going to be doing something really, really cool on Saturday. It is the 20th anniversary of the 2002 national championship team that went 14-0, beat arguably the greatest college football team of all time, the Miami Hurricanes, won the national championship. The head coach of that team, we all from around here know him, Jim Tressel. He will be there in Columbus, as well as, you know, Craig Krenzel and Mike Doss and, you know, all the important guys from that team. That team, let me tell you how special that team was. On the defensive side of the ball, every single starter was drafted in the NFL. Not the same year, but over the course of the years. And some of their backups were A.J. Hawk, Bobby Carpenter, Nick Mangold, you know, people like that. So multiple first-round picks and a handful, a huge amount, fortnights, if you will.
Ooh,
like that. What is a fortnight? 14, right? Means maybe 2 weeks, I think. I think so. There was a ton. Scores is probably the proper term. I think fortnight means like you're sleeping somewhere for 14 nights or staying somewhere for 14 days.
You're just
an
encyclopedia of those kind of things.
Man.
I defer to you.
So,
I got a question. I ask you this every year, but I need a better answer.
Yeah,
this
please.
Time. So how do they come up with some of these early, those money games where you can have a Duquesne versus Florida State But then you have a more, not evenly, but a Notre Dame, Ohio State, where it seems like it feels like they're a little bit more in their, you know what I mean? In their domain. Yeah.
Well, this is just my opinion. You know, there's somebody out there might agree, somebody might disagree, but obviously you play, if you're in a conference like Ohio State with the Big Ten, you're playing 9 conference games against a pretty tough schedule. You have every year, you know, you have Michigan. You have, and I'm just going to use the Buckeyes for example. You have Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State at minimum on your schedule, most likely 3 ranked teams. Then, you know, it depends who your crossover games are. Maryland might be good, but you might get Iowa. You might get Wisconsin. You might get Purdue, you know, whoever it might be. So you're going to play, let's say out of those 9 games, you're probably going to play 6 pretty competitive games. So if you're going to schedule 3, the general rule that I see at least Ohio State doing is they try to bring in like a marquee name, like last year, Oregon, this year, Notre Dame. Next year, they're going to Notre Dame. Then after that, they go to Texas and Washington and Alabama. So those are some marquee names. But also on the counter side of that, you have Arkansas State. You have the Toledo Rockets. So I know Jim Tressel, when he was the coach, used to schedule a lot of Ohio teams or MAC teams to kind of give them the payday, right, to kind of boost their revenue for their athletic department. So long answer short is I think you try to maybe schedule one of those games, but maybe have a couple warm-up games in there for conference play. So, you know, maybe you get some of your backups in, or, you know, it's kind of like, for example, let's use an Austin Town Fitch, for example. They're probably the biggest school locally in our area. So Austin Town Fitch plays this team who's really good from, you know, Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know what Austin Town's Fitch schedule looks like outside of the ACC, which they're in, or AAC. But I'm guessing there's probably a little bit of an easier game in there. With high school football, it's a little different than college because more teams make the playoffs. But I think you're going to see more of these elite games as these conferences continue to grow and grow, and the playoff picture looks to expand a little bit more. So
okay,
I guess that's kind of my thinking on that. So if I don't know if you know what it is right now. Do you know the spread in the Ohio State Notre Dame game?
I would guess probably, what, 14 is about right?
That's about when it came out, where it started. You're right on that. It has climbed as high as 17.5. It's actually at last check at 17. So pretty, that's a pretty high number. And me, you know, even being a homer, a biased Buckeye, whatever you want to call me, I still think that's a little too high to bet. Now, if you're guessing the total, what do you think the total might be?
I'm thinking probably, doing over under.
Yeah.
Probably 50.
Okay. It's a little bit higher. It's 59. Mm. And I think even at 59, I think that's safe.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable touching the point spread in this game, but I love the 59. It's like, give me 59 all day. So Ohio State's offense the last 5 seasons has averaged over 40 points a game. So, I mean, hypothetically, if you do the math there, so that, let's just say 40-23 is the spread. There's your 63 points right there. So, you know, I'm going to say stay away from the line. Obviously, someone's going to hit it. And obviously, a lot of the money has been going towards the Buckeyes early on. But, you know, maybe recently, once it crept to 17.5, it's like, well, 2 touchdowns and a field goal, that's a lot to be laying. So so we'll see. But I like the over. I think that's a safe bet at 59. So, yeah, that's where we are at on that. Ohio State leads this series 4-2. They have played 6 times total. That is it. Incredible that they have with Notre Dame's history, with Ohio State's history, they've only played 6 times in the course of their history. They're 270 miles away, which is what, like a 4-hour car ride, you know? So just incredible. They will play next year, and hopefully we'll get on the schedule more than every 25, 30 years, besides the bowl game. But the last time Notre Dame beat Ohio State, can you guess the year?
It's got to be in that heyday, the Rudy heyday. It's got to be back then.
It was the Rudy heyday. Yeah. It was before Rudy.
Was it really?
Well before Rudy.
Okay.
So Rudy was in, I think, the 70s.
Okay.
Late 70s, maybe. So think earlier than that. I'm doing this to catch a drink here.
No, he's mocking me. He's swigging it with his pinky extended.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I guess 50s?
1935 wow. or 36, I believe. So it's been a long time, like almost 90 years.
Wow.
And again, they don't play very often, so the opportunity is not always there. But the last four matchups, Ohio State has obviously won. They've been favored in all of those, but they have also covered the spread in all four of those games. So little interesting fact there.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing about it is that both of the clubs have such a deep fan base. Mm-hmm. You think that they would match them up more often.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so. Random thought real quick. Have you been getting any political texts lately? A bad transition, but.
No, that's good. Is that what you got?
Oh, yeah. I just got a random political text.
All right. Well, let's let them know. Did they sway your vote?
No, they did not.
Okay. So ineffective. Stop sending them, please.
Okay. Yes. So I was getting them, and I'm not declaring. I'm pretty much down the middle on most topics.
Okay.
I lean a little bit right. I lean a little bit left on certain things. And, we don't like to talk politics on this show, especially. But I got a text from a Nancy Pelosi person and someone else on the Republican side, and both instances, and I know you'll love this because it was a meme of Mark Cuban, the Shark Tank owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and it said, unsolicited texting, for that reason I'm out. And I just respond, that's how I respond to all of it.
Beautiful.
I keep
See,
it
here's
safe
a, here's a new strategy. Mm-hmm. Create a group text and put the two of them in it and let them hash it out.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. And maybe if they just give each other,
that's
keep
it.
Giving each other money, then.
Stop, stop, stop.
Yeah, yeah. Please, no more messages. Pelosi, whoever. You know, I love it. I love it.
And
so
we have a Spanish speaker, I'm assuming. How do you pronounce that name? What would you say? Blau and Grana?
Oh, Blau and Grana.
Hola, mi casa, su casa.
Ah. Que pasa?
Muchos Blau gracias. Grace.
I took 1 year of Spanish.
This is 10th grade Spanish.
Asked me, yeah. So, yeah. We'll move on.
Yes.
Not sure about these horns going on. There's a lot of instruments going on in the background over here. So, always an interesting, fun time at the Canfield Fair. And I'm going to say this as respectfully as possible. There's a really good group out there, and it's called peopleofthefair.com.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and again, respectful, kind, but if you like peopleofwalmart.com or awkward family photos, this is the group for you. So
and let me give you another fair, since you did bring that up, a little fair recommendation. Two things you want to do is you want to reapply sunscreen because the sun is out there,
yeah,
and reapply deodorant because you can never get too much.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And, or if you did neither of those things, just go stand next to an animal and maybe someone won't know the difference because yeah, highly recommend keeping your hygiene on a level
on a
10.
High.
Yes. Yes. So let's get back to respectability and I like to have some fun. I don't want to be too mean, but that's just a good rule of thumb to follow in any venue. Whether it's
I came here to talk
Fair.
Sports, Mr.
So,
Curveball.
All right, back to sports. So, Steve Hellwagon, who was on my show last week, great reporter, does a phenomenal job covering the Buckeyes. He threw it out there because he knows Jim Tressel real well. Obviously, I know Jim Tressel a little bit, not super well like he does, but he threw this out for, I'm going to say, people like Neil Armstrong, Jack Nicklaus, Bob Hope, I believe. There's been a handful of people that have dotted the I in Script, Ohio. That is like the number one honor you know, for an Ohio State alum, that's like the most prestigious thing you can
really?
Do. It really, really is amazing. And if you've never seen Script Ohio in person, it is one of the greatest traditions in all of college sports, all of sports really in general. There's some great ones out there, but I put that right up at the top.
Oh, and the fans go crazy.
Oh, it is amazing. Like, to me, I am so pumped, so excited. And obviously you're there for the game, but everything else, the smell, the feel, the game, but like the band is second to none. And obviously they call it the best damn band in the land for a reason. But you know, giving someone that honor of donning the I, usually it's like a senior, I think they call it a sousaphone, which is like a big tuba. That they're usually given that honor, and you know, they do that, but on special occasions they pick an honorary Buckeye. And I think you had to be, you know, you obviously had to be some important person either at the university or within the state of Ohio. And you can't get more famous than Neil Armstrong, you know, first man to be on the moon. You know, Jack Nicklaus, one of the best golfers of all time. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Actually, the list does not go on and on. There's only a handful of people that have done that. Right. But I'm just going to pose this question. Now, obviously, Coach Tressel left under unfortunate circumstances in 2010 with the Buckeyes, but he turned that program around. It was in a bad place there in the early 2000s. And in his second year, he not only has beaten Michigan twice, he flipped the Ohio State Michigan rivalry, won a national championship, got him to two more national championships, and then, you know, took the program to another level. Do you think Jim Tressel should be given that prestigious honor of donning the I?
100%.
Agreed. I mean, I couldn't like this isn't really going to be any kind of argument because, you know, Youngstown Studio, the president of Youngstown State University. But, you know, again, there might be some naysayers out there that said, well, he left under some bad circumstances and whatnot. But that guy gave his all to the university, to the state of Ohio, the city of Youngstown now, the College of YSU. So, I mean, we are honored to have him. He wasn't born here, but he's a Youngstown through and through. And, you know, the things that he sort of got in trouble for back then was basically protecting his players, and all of that stuff now is completely 100% legal, which is crazy because if you don't know, he was basically covering up players traded merchandise to get free tattoos. It's not like he was, you know, handing bags of cash to recruits or something like that. So nothing nefarious. But unfortunately, that's how his tenure at Ohio State ended. But I think this would be the perfect way to bring him back. They're obviously going to honor the 2002 team. But, you know, maybe it doesn't happen this year, but it should happen sooner than later.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So Ohio State, as an alum, as a fan of Jim Tressel, as a fan of the Buckeyes, I am making that case to please let Jim Tressel dot that I, whether it's this year or whether it's in the near future. So I've said my piece on that. So
argument for me. I think that's a good argument.
Absolutely. So I am going to go with Ohio State obviously winning the game. Again, I am going to stay away from the cover. I'm not going to go near the score, but I'm going to say, even with the Jim Knowles defense, I think Ohio State probably gives up a little bit of points.
Right.
But I think Ohio State, Notre Dame hit the over, but Ohio State wins the game. If I say comfortably, that's kind of semantics because that could be by 8, that could be by 40, you know?
Right.
So I'm just going to say Ohio State wins and the over hits. So really looking forward to that game. Obviously, if you're in Youngstown, 2 p.m. kickoff at the Ice Castle, which will not be an ice castle, most likely this weekend. It will be pretty warm, but get out there and support the YSU Penguins. Or if you're coming down to Columbus, you see me around, let's have a drink and enjoy that weekend. So any other plans, Labor Day weekend, or is this it here?
This is it. This is my world.
This
for
is
5 days.
I mean, this is a big world to be in for sure. So
it always impresses me, like, even, you know, Ohio State and having 100,000 plus people mm-hmm. all in one spot. Like, you don't understand what that feels like until no. you're in it. And same thing with the Canfield Fair. 100,000 people will come through here over the course of 6 days.
That's though, amazing. Right? It really is amazing. No, I think, is it, how many people do you think it is?
I think it's over 100,000 coming through here.
I think it's close to 500,000.
Seriously?
I think it's close to 500,000.
Okay. Like,
we got to get Dapper Dan
yeah.
over here. What's his name again? Do you remember? I'm sorry. I'm putting you on the right. spot.
George? But, I think George is one of them. Dave is the other one.
Okay. Well, we have to get someone with that out here because love to, you know, just know how many come through the turnstiles. Right. And I'm sure a lot of it's weather dependent, and it looks like it's going
to
be a beautiful,
amen to
beautiful
that. The
weekend.
Best weather I can ever remember. Being
And that's great because so many times, you know, I think it was Monday or Tuesday of this week. It was like a monsoon, and I was like a little bit worried. It was going to be really sloppy out here, but the grounds are good. Grass is dry. Everything's good to walk around. So come out and enjoy it. Have a great time. So, a little bit back to sports now. Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Put some comments out there, and I'm just going to paraphrase. He basically said, I'm going to F them up, referring to the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I read an article that challenged that.
Yes.
Okay. Did you read that one too?
I saw several people trying to walk back their statements.
All right, so this is what I think happened. This seems like most likely. I think they're drumming up that rival because it makes for really good news.
Oh, it does.
And I think the reporter said, so, Baker, are you going to F them up? And he was like, yeah. So him agreeing to it, then they're like, Baker says he was going to F them up. That's the way I think it went down.
I'm going to politely disagree with you and say you're effing wrong. I'm going to say...
Switzerland over here. He just disagreed with me.
I'm going to say... Baker was, you know, BSing with some players or whatever, and they were probably talking about week one. And I think she overheard him. And I think he probably said it. And, like, I mean, really, who cares? You know, like, I am so sick of the he's got a chip on his shoulder comment. Like, yeah, you know what? They're all NFL players. Everybody's got a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, right.
Everybody wants to make a play. You know, just because, like, give me a break about the Baker Mayfield stuff. Like, I'm kind of over it. And then hopefully after week one, we can put it to bed.
Right.
Because, like, whether the Browns win or whether they lose, let's put this to bed because, I mean, my goodness, I'm sick of it. Are you?
I mean, it's a nothing to me. I mean, I'm sure it ratchets up the team and gives them some fodder to get, mm-hmm. you know, pissed off. But I think nobody's going to play different because of this comment or the situation.
Right.
They're going to be professional and they're going to go out there and play and try to win.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to win.
Exactly. Exactly. So we'll see. I believe the Browns opened early on back in the spring as like a 3-point favorite. And I think the line is maybe like Carolina's maybe a 2-point favorite. That was obviously before we knew all the stuff about Deshaun Watson and whatnot, but, you know, this is, it's going to be a very competitive game. And I thought whether Watson played or didn't play, or, you know, Baker was playing or Sam Darnold was playing or whoever it might be, I thought it was going to be a close competitive game right. regardless, just because one, it's week one. Two, with the Baker, if he was playing, there would be some extra motivation regardless. And the NFL is going to want to keep it close,
right.
even though, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying like the fix is in or anything like that, but I will say it makes for good TV. Though. You know what I'm saying? It makes for really, really good
Can
TV.
Can we talk about Chicago? Because sure. I want to gripe about that. Because
Please.
They, I mean, we talked about Jacoby going into that, thinking that, you know, he gets to show off his stuff. I get to date him a little bit and, you know, show it. And I was a little let down on the performance on two people. Well, Schwartz, I was expecting what went down, but Jacoby, I was a little let down.
Well, I will say, though, Schwartz's performance hands Jacoby a negative performance because Schwartz had one catch for 8 yards. I think he was targeted 6 times. That's unacceptable.
Right.
Like, you know, you could probably go find just about any above average college wide receiver, plug him in on some of those routes, and they could you know, reel in one or two of those balls too. But I did see a deep ball, which I liked from Jacoby. I did see, you know, Schwartz obviously got like knocked down on that one interception route. And that's something that I think comes with more time. You know, you learn to either go under that linebacker or go around him. But that is one of those things that's it's a timing route.
Right.
So Brissett and Schwartz are taught, hey, Jacoby's going to drop back three steps. He's going to throw it to a spot. You know, and I will say this, don't read too much into the preseason. Right. You know, the Browns were 4-0 the year they went 0-16. Right. You know what I mean? So,
but here's the thing. Like I knew that when the past couple quarterbacks were having a problem is that they were either taking these little 8-yard drops and then zinging it in there. And they were just coming in too hot for on any of the receivers to catch it. And then with Baker being so inaccurate at times, you know, throwing at people's feet and way overthrowing and whatever, you hate to even charge those against the receiver because they were just so terrible throws.
No doubt.
But those ones, the ones of Schwartz, I don't think they were all that bad.
No, I agree. I think Brissett's going to be – hey, real quick before you go, Notre Dame-Ohio State score for Saturday. Notre Dame-Ohio State score. What's your prediction?
Ohio State?
Do you have a score prediction?
No.
Okay. But you just want the Buckeyes to win. Take the Buckeye money line. Love it. All right. So we got another one for the Buckeyes. We got another one for the Buckeyes.
Thank you.
All right. So back to Brissett a little bit. I think he's going to be fine. He's not going to be Deshaun Watson. He's not going to be as bad as Baker was last year. I think we've talked about this before. I think he's going to be somewhere in between. So if he can do, let's say, a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So let's say in 11 games, he throws 15 touchdowns and 7 picks. I think that's good enough with your run game, with your defense, to get you to a 6-5. And I think 6-5 has to be the goal for these first 11 games if you want to compete for the playoffs.
Yeah, and honestly, though, like you said, preseason, his number one and two receivers weren't even on the field. So you add the fifth and sixth stringers in there, and you get drop passes, and it made him look super bad.
And right now, the Browns have only 5 receivers on the roster, which tells me someone else is out there that they're going to try to snag. I did see the Miami Dolphins cut Lynn Bowden yesterday, but I believe he got picked up by the Patriots. Cool thing about Lynn Bowden, once again, a Youngstown kid, former third round pick of the Las Vegas Raiders, got traded to Miami, didn't work out there, was cut and released, and signed with New England. But I thought that would have been a good fit because he played quarterback in college along with wide receiver, but he would have been a good return guy, which obviously, with Grant out, that would have helped out. But someone, believe you me, they have plenty of time to make something work. And now, when I say plenty of time, hopefully they bring someone in by, let's say, Monday, so they can get the game install for the week. They can get the terminology.
Right. So now, after the 53-man cutdown, was there any good names that got released that you eyeballed to say they would make?
You know what? I didn't keep... And by the way, if you're like, why are they freaking out or something? There are some bees from time to time around here. So don't think we're going crazy. It's just bee stuff. But on our 53, not a whole lot of surprises. But with the rest of the league, there was a few guys that got released. You know, off the top of my head, we have another bee friend here. No one in particular. There was a trade yesterday. The Eagles traded Jalen Reagor to the Minnesota Vikings. And I thought that was a guy the Browns might have been in on. But
what made me sad, though? Stanton, man.
Sad. But that's the thing about having a good roster. Before, the Browns would be picking up 5-6 guys off the waiver wire. You know, now they're maybe picking up 1 or 2 because your roster's so good. And there's going to be some guys that you really like an Isaac Rochelle gets released yesterday. A lot of people love him, but he was going to be the sixth defensive end on a team with some really good defensive ends. Yeah. And, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but he would have made the team almost every year, but they're so good now and so deep that, you know, it is what it is. You field a competitive roster, you're going to have to make some tough choices. So
Schwartz is there and Stanton's not. That's why I'm saying.
But Schwartz has something you cannot coach with, that elite speed. He just needs to get out of his own way in his own head. I hope the Browns have him going to like a sports psychologist or something, because we've all had that at some, well, I can't speak for you, but I know I've had that before where you get like the yips or something they call it.
The shanks and tin cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the shanks and tin cup. There used to be a baseball player called Chuck Knoblauch. It was the second baseman for the Twins and then the Yankees. And he couldn't get it out of his head, or he just couldn't make the throw from second base to the first baseman. And he had eventually retired. He like, they called it the yips. He just mentally, there was something blocking there where he couldn't get out of his own way. And that's, you know, it might sound like crazy talk, but I mean, that's.
And then once you have fans and the media pile on that you can't catch.
Exactly.
Super easy to believe.
Exactly. Especially when, you know, nothing against, like, Auburn is a big program in the SEC, and that's where Schwartz came from. But there might have been 2-3, at most 4 beat reporters interviewing him, asking him questions week to week and stuff like that. But, you know, in Cleveland, you're going to be hammered with not just local media, you know, your Mary Kay Cabots, your Doug Le Maurices, you know, people like that. I mean, but you're going to get national people. You're going to get the ESPN people. You're going to get the NFL Network people. You're going to get the fans bagging on you. And we all know NFL fans can be absolutely brutal. So
yeah, if you got a confidence problem, you are screwed.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I think to a little bit, Watson, when he comes back, is going to have to deal with that, because he's been liked his entire life. And obviously this is a big 180, because, you know, he's not going to be a fan favorite on the road. Yeah. And maybe even some people in the Cleveland crowd might be booing him. So that's something he's going to have to learn to get over and just deal with. And hopefully things get better eventually. I'm waiting for your comment. I'm waiting
for it to come. I usually think of them beforehand. I forgot I'm supposed to.
I was waiting for it, and I knew it was coming. I thought you were going to massage it in there or whatever.
Yeah, give me some time. I'll come up with but who do you think?
You're going to feel your way out.
So who do you think a player in any sport that had one of those reputation, who do you think was the best at using those boos and that negative energy to become a better player?
Oh, Michael Jordan. 100%? Michael Jordan. Yeah. Michael Jordan. He loved, like, fed off of that. Reggie Miller's another one. Those like 90s basketball players just ate that up. Michael Jordan is like number one I would come to mind. Kobe's probably another guy. Like those guys that have that killer instinct, you know, on the court. They could probably be your best friend or nicest guy off the court, but they want to beat you at checkers just as much they want to beat you on the basketball court. And, you know, those guys are relentless, and I think some of those guys love it more when they silence a road crowd more than they get their home crowd fired up. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm trying to think of who said it, but they said there's nothing better than a quiet road stadium. Oh, yeah. And like, to me, that would be the ultimate as well.
Yeah. And know? I think hecklers in the NBA are they're closer to the action. You mm-hmm. can get your words in, they can hear you courtside, where football, you're miles away sometimes,
yeah.
You know,
that's where like the opposing fans are getting in fights, yeah, instead right? of on the court.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The funniest was Albert Bell. He was my favorite. He was always being heckled out there in the mm-hmm. outfield. And he would do the whole middle finger on the back of the neck, and he would mess with people right back. It's funny.
Albert Bell was a badass dude. Badass dude. So, yeah, he would definitely be up there. But once again, I don't want to sit on my stump here and say, oh, you know, it's this generation so weak and whatever. But it's like, those are some interesting glasses out there. Great people watching, if we haven't mentioned at the Canfield Fair, by the way. But where was I going? He totally threw me off base. Oh, that generation.
Yeah.
So, like, your Jordans, your Allen well, Allen Iverson's a little bit later, but your Kobe's, your Reggie Miller, you know, those guys like loved that almost. They loved the hate,
yep.
You know, and they fed off that. Albert Bell, another guy. It's like, come on, bring it on, you know,
right.
And like, you know, just like now you don't see as much of that. Are there guys that feed off of that still? 100%.
Sure.
Draymond Green's probably a guy like that for the Warriors. But I saw even in the finals this year, that got in his head a little bit too, even with, you know, his experience as a player he is. So
back to the Browns. What were your takeaways from watching that preseason game?
I came away, like, I don't buy too much stock in the preseason, but I came away a little bit uninspired, I guess.
Okay.
And again, they're going to put out a vanilla defensive plan, a vanilla offensive plan. I saw an offense. You have five Pro Bowlers not even playing. Amari Cooper, both of your tackles in Teller and Betonio, and who else? No Nick Chubb, no Deshaun Watson, obviously, no Jack Conklin. So that's six guys right there. So that's more than half of your offense that are all pros or top guys at their own position that aren't out there for your team. So that makes a difference. But I came away a little bit disappointed with the lack of discipline. There was a lot of penalties.
Way too many penalties.
I thought the defensive effort wasn't as good as it should have been. And so defense is about attitude. It's about mindset. Yeah, it's a little bit about scheme and talent, but it's about wanting it more than the offense. And I came a little bit disappointed with that, especially I love Justin Fields, but that Bears offense stinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were playing a lot of their number ones, but still I came away uninspired. It was 21-0 at one point. I will say on the opposite end of that coin, love the new kicker. Cade York, man.
Yeah. We as Browns fans, you know, Phil Dawson was the, you know, most scoring as player in our offense or whatever.
Yeah.
So what do you think about special teams across the board? How do you think we fare versus last year?
Yeah, punting I think is fine. Bajorquez, I believe is his name. They picked him up from Green Bay. He seems like a solid punter. Cade York, a fourth round draft pick from LSU, seems to be solidifying the kicking spot. I think that's going to be a great.
You won't sweat when we got a 45 yarder.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, did you see he made a pre-game kick of 70 yards? Pre-game kick, which means if you're making a 70 yard field goal, that means you are kicking it from the opponent's, or I'm sorry, your own 40 yard line. So a 40, the opposite 40 yard line before the 50, which is amazing.
That's crazy.
So he made that, and obviously in warmups is different, but makes that. I think he's missed two, and one hit the crossbar from 57, and
had leg on it, but didn't.
Yeah,
have,
yep. Exactly. And another was almost 60 and missed that one as well. So he's got plenty of legs. So I think your punting position is good. I think your kicking position is good. Your long snapper is one of your longest tenured players,
right,
which is a very underrated position because, you know, you have a bad snap that F's everything up.
Right.
So Charlie Hewitt is his name. So I think they're fine at those spots. Kick return game, punt return game. That's where you went out and got Grant.
Yeah.
And he tore his Achilles and that really hurts. So yeah. I think they're going to use the young kid Ford, the running back, probably at the kick return spot. Punt return, we'll see how that goes, but I'm going to guess that's going to be Peoples Jones, probably a more sure-handed person.
Right.
You'd like to flip the field, honestly, if you could, but if you can't, you know, you want someone back there with some sure hands. So
how about all these like 2-point conversions and these plays that
yeah.
you don't see very much, but
yeah.
they gave us a lot of sampling here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have a bunch that are like, I hate to say secret, but you're going to keep a lot close to the vest.
Yeah.
You're not sure. going to show a whole lot. They don't want to give the Panthers too much. You know, same thing. The Steelers are opening up with the Bengals. Browns are opening up against the Panthers. Neither, you know, none of those teams wants to show any other team too right. much because you're game planning for those teams for, you know, a good seven full days. So I think the Browns will, in Kevin Stefanski's offense, bring out a lot of tricks. They'll bring out a lot of two-point conversions, especially with Brissett early on, because you want to win especially as many of those first four games as you can. I think you have to come out 3-1 from those first four games. I think it's Carolina, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Falcons. I think you have to win three of those four. Obviously, 4-0 would be ideal, and you cannot do any worse than 2-2 in those games. So,
yeah, and I noticed a lot of those like 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2s that they went with a pass play to pick those things up. Where, you know, old school was you had a Jerome Bettis, and no matter what, he was going 1 yard ahead, and he was going to fall forward and get it every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think where we'd be more likely with Brissett to do more running, gut shots at running, or do you think we'll go more passing like we saw preseason?
That's a good question. I don't really have a good answer to that. I would say it's probably situation specific, down and distance, location on the field, your opponent, and whatnot. But I would generally think analytics would say you have a higher chance actually passing the ball.
Do you really?
I think so, because there's a lot that can go your way, whether it's a defensive holding, illegal hands or whatever, stuff like that. And if it's less than 3 yards, you got a pretty good chance of, picking up a quick out or, a slant or something like that.
Yeah, I like when they use their tight ends in that situation, because they could just use their body to get open.
Right. Yeah, and, you're not as predictable either if you're just lining up in I formation.
Right.
It would be ideal if you could just line up and get 2 or 3 yards on every single play, but that's not the way of the NFL anymore. And defenses can kind of scheme against that, where I don't care how good Nick Chubb is, how good Kareem Hunt is. If there's 6 guys against a 5-man front,
you lose.
Yeah, your odds are not in your favor. So yeah, that's where I'm at on that.
Okay.
So, just a couple more things before we go here. Obviously a bunch on the high school slate this weekend. I'm going to actually be joining, I think, virtually from, Columbus tomorrow. The MLO bros are starting to do a weekly high school football kind of pick 'em.
Oh, nice.
And I am not, I like to think I know a ton about college football, a ton about pro football, Major League Baseball, this and that, but I am not a formidable expert at high school football. I know the teams, but I don't know their rosters inside and out, like a YSN or, a Malutic or any of those guys who really study this stuff. But I will say I know the basics. And so we're doing a little bit of shows to just have a little fun with it, too.
Cool.
It's almost like we all did it last Friday at 3 o'clock, and I think it was raining outside. So we all just were having a beer, all in our different places, and just was doing a pick 'em, and that was pretty fun. So I will say I will post some games of the week and best players from last week. So check our website for that. Make sure you follow us at 330 Sports Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and Youngstown Studios, obviously, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. So we put a ton of content out there, and a lot of times we can't get to it on every show, whether it's we have guests or we have just certain, like we're Browns heavy or Buckeye heavy or whatever it might be that day, but we shall see. Just a couple other things too. The Guardians are 1.5 games still in first place. They struggled a little bit over the weekend. They've split so far with the Baltimore Orioles. They will play the Orioles tonight in Cleveland and host the Seattle Mariners this weekend in Cleveland. Like I said, 1.5 game lead over the Minnesota Twins. So that will be something to watch. And, hopefully the Guardians can keep it rolling. And then I got to ask you, too. Yeah. I saw this stat. This stat blew my mind. I don't know if you saw me post it or not.
I don't think so.
Probably not, because you've been busy. So I'm going to try to make sure I get it right. If I don't, I'll look at my phone and cheat. But so in 2001, obviously the world was a different place in 2001, but this stat is absolutely mind blowing. Albert Pujols, right now he's 6 home runs away from 700, which would put him like third or fourth all time, which is 700 home runs. That's like unfathomable to me. But okay. So Albert Pujols hit a home run. Serena Williams won a match at the U.S. Open. So you with me on those two things so far? And then Dante Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero, and Craig Biggio all recorded a base hit on August 29th, 2001. On August 29th, 2022, listen to this.
Oh, no.
Albert Pujols hits a home run. Serena Williams wins a match at the U.S. Open as a 40-year-old, by the way. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio, which is Craig Biggio's son, and then Bo Bichette, who's Dante Bichette's son, all recorded a base hit.
Whoa.
That is like, boom, mind-blowing. I just thought that was the coolest stat I've heard this week. And, you know, I think you guys know I'm a stat guy. I love that stuff. I eat it up. But like when I hear stuff like that, it's like, wow, that's,
I want to meet the guy that figured that out.
I know. I know. Actually, yeah, where I heard that, it was actually from, pardon my take. So I want to give them credit for that, but I had to share that because I mean, 21 years, like imagine what you were doing 21 years ago and you're still doing it at that level. Serena Williams was 19. Albert Pujols, I think was like 21. So just amazing stuff. So, I mean, it's not 176 years ago, like right. The Canfield Fair when James K. Polk, by the way,
right.
That's a nugget. That'll I want you to use that in a conversation this weekend. Hey, do you guys know, can I ask you a question real quick? We're going to get a guest here, or we're going to ask a trivia question here. Can you guys give me a guess of who the president was when the first Canfield Fair was going on? No idea? You don't want to take a guess? Any guess?
No, this is way
1846. It was, so use this weekend. James K. Polk. So
James Polk.
Yeah, a little trivia. I just wanted to grab somebody out there to see if we could get a ding on that one. Well, you guys enjoy the fair.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Sorry to call you out like that. Have a good time. So James K. Polk. So if Joe, if you randomly run into him this weekend, Fast Freddy maybe doing a show tonight. If he's out, he's gonna be walking around talking to some amazing people, I'm sure.
For sure.
Amazing, interesting, whatever adjective you want to use. So I have him use that question. Okay. I just want to see.
Right. I'm going to tell you, that's how you pick up chicks. You absolutely
American
know.
History.
Uh-huh. Don't. You know, like, hey, you know who the.
Hey, Ryan. No, it's not. It's a good nugget to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, but enough of that. Please don't listen to daddies.
Oh, man. So. Let's we'll start closing out, wrapping it up. But this has been fun. I mean, we're almost at 5 o'clock here, and there's so much activity at the fair. I'm staring at that Ferris wheel. It looks like a lot of fun. So might have to check that out here before I leave. I'm definitely gonna pick up some food on my way out. I'm thinking maybe a corn dog. For some reason, that sounds good.
Really?
Yeah.
Of kinda, all the food here.
Kind of sounds good. Oh, if any Game of Thrones fans are out there, we have a member of the Cloaks out
nice.
There. So,
cool.
So anyways, once again, I'm going with the Ohio State Buckeyes to beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Today. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. Ohio State to beat Notre Dame. I'm not predicting a score, but I will say bet the over. I think that, I hate to say a lock, but I think it's better than not that will happen. But if you are out and if you are able, definitely try to make it down to the Canfield Fair. A lot of
and
good
don't
stuff.
Don't let this show, in honor of Deshaun Watson, don't let this show rub you the wrong way.
You got one in. You got Once that was probably a bad pun I just said too. So, anyways, as a loyal Browns fan, go Browns, go Buckeyes, go Guards, whatever you want to say. Good luck to all the high school football teams out there this weekend. You know, plenty of action out on the high school football fields. But if you're not doing that, come out to the Canfield Fair. And if you're out, and if I'm here, if Joe's here, anybody's down here, come say hi, stop by, kind of see what we do. Like Joe had mentioned, Kelly Pavlik will be out
Friday.
Signing autographs Friday.
Tomorrow,
so tomorrow he will be out here. How many times do you get to meet a world champion anything,
right?
Let alone a world championship boxer? So definitely come out, meet Kelly Pavlik, say hi. We'll have some other guest appearances, MLO bros tonight. Look for that. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So I hope to be doing another show on Monday. So we will see you guys soon. Definitely check in with us down at the Youngstown Studio Tent at the Canfield Fair. I'm looking at the Rock straight ahead. And then just to the left of me, if you're looking at our booth, to the right of us is the WFMJ tent. We got Youngstown Clothing Company over here. So a bunch of stuff. Come out, get some food, see some animals. Maybe not in that order. I don't know, whatever you want to do, and just have fun. And we appreciate you guys listening and watching. Remember, we are a Youngstown Studio production, and this was the 330 Sports Show. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the